The History Man with Terry Kringle.
Hello. Last week, with the assistance of a highly informative article by Miss I. M. Killip in the Journal of the Manx Museum, I recalled some of the many things gorse could be used to good advantage on farms in the Isle of Man, where it grew freely on the land surrounding them. A gift of Mother Nature. For instance, a cattle shelter would have the sides of its wooden frame interwoven with gorse, and Miss Killip says there was one such still standing in Lonnon well into the 20th century. The gorse was also excellent for a good blaze in the cottage fire, and it could be grown on top of the sod hedges to be found on Manx farms, so giving even greater height and shelter. But the Manx farmer's main use for gorse used to be to feed his animals. It could be bought for this purpose, and if the farmer had no gorse on his land, he could buy the necessary seeds to grow some. It was a saleable commodity. But naturally enough, the more gorse there was growing of its own accord, the better it was for the farmer. But as will be readily realised, no animal could eat gorse raw. It had to be literally battered into an edible state. This was known as thumping or bruising gorse. It was done by hand with a heavy wooden mallet, with the gorse held in a stone trough. The mallet would have pieces of scythe or sickle blade in the head to make it more effective. The best gorse for this treatment was 2 years old, and the time to cut it was November to April. There was inevitably a rhyme for this. Come bruise the gorse without delay, to keep the cows alive till May. But bruising by hand was not highly productive. Milling it was much better, and in 1827 the Manx Sun reported that there were at least 100 gorse mills in the island, saving farmers up to £4,000 a year on fodder. The mills were still in widespread use towards the end of the 19th century. They were wind-driven and water-driven, and I'm told there was one still going strong some time in the 1920s. In Lonnon, yes, Lonnon again, there was a place called the Gorse Mill Field. Some mills were highly sophisticated with a double hammer mechanism, but handling gorse always needed care, it being so tough and springy and prickly. There were special gorse sickles and scythes for harvesting it. But the end product was always worth the effort. When properly milled, it came out like finely cut grass. Animals took to it readily, horses in particular, and it had a medicinal property in that it could eradicate worms in animals. Miss Killip says there seems to be something in the Manx soil which encourages the growth of gorse, and its flowering has always been something for comment by the Manx people. The old folk would say, "My word, the gorse is proud this year." Nowadays, of course, it is strictly and wonderfully decorative. Farmers have no use for it any more. And there are times when it needs to be cut back or burned off. But it can be used for plugging gaps in hedges, and there has been a lasting use for the yellow gorse flowers we all enjoy so much. The late Harvey Briggs, former farming correspondent of the Isle of Man Examiner, remembers using the flowers to colour the boiled eggs used in the egg-rolling competitions held on Easter Monday. What you did was put the flowers into boiling water. I wonder if people still do this. Mind you, every golfer knows that gorse can swallow up golf balls. Unfortunately, nobody has yet invented a truly effective gorse iron. But today, the butter yellow of the gorse is no longer confined to the Manx countryside. It's to be found in all the towns and villages in profusion. Look out for it when you try to park the car. I'm talking about our double yellow lines. Now then, is that not the splendid yellow of the Manx gorse in full bloom? It certainly is. But this doesn't make us love our double yellow lines any more, even though this shade of yellow would be suitable as the national colour of the Isle of Man.